welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord. We have two categories of people here. The young that is going to faint and be weary, all right, and be tired and be broken and be busted and be broke. No success, nothing happening. Weak, the enemy having a fit day, just doing whatever he wants to do. Anytime he wants to do it, they can't stop him. They are too weak. They are too weary. They are fainting. There is no strength. And there is this other people who knows that on their own, they have no strength of their own. So they go to God for strength. They go to God to be fortified. Are you still in the house? All right? There are people like that. And the Bible said those ones who wait on the Lord, they will renew. The word renew there in the original is exchange. They will exchange their weakness, their feebleness, for God's strength. For God's strength. Those who wait on the Lord. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Run and not be weary. When you run, you get tired. Am I saying something here? But God saying that when you have his strength, you're going to run and you will not be weary. You will walk and you will not faint. There's going to be an exchange, divine exchange of your weakness for his own ability, for his own strength, for his own wisdom, for his own knowledge, for his own understanding. Are you still in the house? That's when you wait on the Lord. So this topic shouldn't end on our papers. It should be something that we practice, we do. What is faith? Faith is simply doing the word of God. That's simple definition of faith. No Greek, no Hebrew, no Aramaic, no confusion, no grammatic expression, no anything. Just do the word. What are you going to be in? You're going to be in faith. Because he washes over his word to do what? To perform it. So if you do the word, God is going to wash over it to do what? To perform it. To make sure that it comes to pass. Hallelujah. And if it's like that with you, definitely you know that you are not going to be looking for somebody who can pray the prayer of faith over you so you can have your miracles. You won't be waiting. Because you might wait and wait and try to see the man who could pray the prayer of faith, and if he doesn't see you before the time is over, you are on your own. But if you have learned the art of waiting on the Lord, if you have learned how to, and you are consistent with it, you will discover that you will not have that need. Because when issues come, you know what to do. The person is going to pray the prayer of faith for you, who is he going to go to? Somebody talk to me now. So what if you know how to go and you go by yourself? Nobody is talking anymore. The person, whoever that person is, even if it is me, that is so anointed and is going to pray prayer of faith for you so that you can get your miracles, and the same person is going to God for that to happen. He can't manufacture it by himself. Am I saying something in the house? I say, what if you know how to go to God with that thing and get result? Will you need me? We will just fellowship as brothers or as sisters. And then we can come together and share more revelations and teach more. That's why the church actually supposed not to be, so to say, a place where we're just talking about miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles. Yet, miracles will happen in the church. Are you hearing me? because we still have young ones who are still growing. But at a particular stage, they should remove that feeding bottle, big feeding bottle from your mouth. Because when you are still chasing miracles around, you are still, it's like a big boy with big feeding bottle running all over the place with big feeding bottle. You need to help him yank the thing off and say, it's time for Amala. And from Amala, it's time for Inyo. From there, it's time for fish, from fish to meat, from meat to what? To bones. Start cracking the bones. You can't stay on meat forever. You will malnourish. Am I saying something? Okay, so that's what we're talking about, and that is the reason for this teaching. Now, in Proverbs chapter 8, blessed is the man, we're going to read from verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. What does it mean to be blessed? Okay, I can write so they can get the scriptures. Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. We're just talking about Proverbs chapter 8. And we just read verse 34. He said, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. And I said, what does it mean to be blessed? Somebody want to help me? It's a class. What does it mean to be blessed? Is anybody going to help me? Somebody? I don't know who's going to help me. You want to leave me up by myself? I'm my God. I know I should receive help now. I should receive help. Who's going to help? You are raising it up and scratching it with your... Help me. Can you help me?
I think to my best knowledge, being blessed is having all your needs met.
Having all your needs met. So if my needs are not met, then I'm not blessed. We're just reasoning together. We're just reasoning together. I'm not trying to put you down. All right? Who else can help me? Come on now. Come on. Come on. You want me to put that somebody? Huh? Who's going to help me? I have a reason why I'm staying here, where I want to deal with the issue of being blessed, so that we can proceed. And do it fast. I don't have all the time, you know. My time is limited. And I want to keep to time as much as possible. So, somebody's going to help me. What does it mean to be blessed? Okay, you want to help?
It means having the hand of God on you.
What?
The hand of God on you.
Having the hand of God on you. But I think that being blessed means being empowered to prosper. Being empowered to prosper. And what I mean being empowered to prosper, I don't just mean money. Because once I say prosper, the only thing that is happening to somebody's mind is, I make more money. But it's beyond that. Amen? It's beyond that. Being empowered to prosper. So in another word, we can say that when you begin to wait on the Lord, and you begin to listen to him and watching daily at his gates, waiting at his post, the post of his doors, then you are going to be blessed. And that may include, like you said, meeting your needs. When the need arises, it meets it. There is enough resources to meet it. Hallelujah. But it's not only on the issue of needs. Now, being alone with God is an act everyone must learn, master, and practice. Being alone with God is an act everyone must learn, master, and practice. We all need to be able to talk over with God issues that affect our lives and the life of others. We should be able to do that. Talk things over with God. Talk things over with God on behalf of your family. Talk things over with God concerning your education. Talk things over with God concerning your future. Talk things over with God concerning your church. Talk things over with God concerning your nation.
be writing it. That would be great. I'm having help now. I asked to help me that time. You didn't want to help me. See how God provides help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we just talk about you talking things over with God concerning yourself, concerning your friends, concerning your family, concerning your church. You might be in church and you are not too happy with the way things are going, and you are not going to begin to let your mouth run riot. So you decide to take it up with God. And in no distant time, you start seeing the wind of God blowing, and things are beginning to change. And nobody even know who did what, who prayed what. But God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. So it's very essential for us to know that we should be able to do that, to talk things over with God, issues concerning our friends, concerning our family, and concerning our church. And we should do that personally sometimes, practically, and thoroughly, bringing solution to those problems, to those issues. It could be salvation of souls. You suddenly become burdened about and you want to talk to God about it. You could have discovered that the young ones in the church are beginning to go wayward and you don't like it. You want to stand up before God and say, no, it must not happen like that. You might discover that the message coming from the altar is becoming dull. You don't like it. You want some fire. You want God to do something. You want the sick to be healed. You want, you know, salvation to come in. Those who are not born again in the church, they should give their life to Christ. And you want to talk it over with God. Praise the Lord. He said, God has time to listen to us if we have time to stay with Him in prayer. He has time to listen to us if only you also we have time to stay in His presence. If we have time to stay in His presence, He is also providing time for us to listen to us. Most life's problems are solved being alone with God. There is no problem that can defile the prayer of faith with God. All things are possible. I don't know why we don't use it, sir. We have it in the Bible. It says, with God, all things are possible. And that God they're talking about is our Father. It's almost like telling me, and He told me that I have inheritance in Him. Didn't He say that? Huh? Which means all that He has, they are mine now. And with Him, who is my Father, all things are possible. Automatically. If I will relate with Him well, if I have relationship with Him, if I am solid with Him, automatically, nothing except what is not His will for me should be impossible. Huh? Is somebody in the house? Why? Because by inheritance, everything He has falls to my lot. The anointing, the power, whatever it is. So when we talk about inheritance, what immediately comes to our mind is money, houses, cars, even in the church. The very moment we are talking about inheritance with God is material things that we are looking at. But we have resources that material things cannot even touch. The gift of the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the glory of God. My goodness. Those ones are untouchable. You can't buy them with money. They are what money cannot buy and can give you money. Have you ever seen somebody who is thoroughly anointed, truly anointed, and is poor? We don't know what to look for. Huh? Eh? Is that the GO poor? Huh? They're not talking anymore. Huh? What made him to be rich? Oh, so you know. Why don't you go for that one? I thought you don't know what made the difference in his life. It is just God. It is just God. So if that God makes that such a difference in his life, And the same God is opening the door for every one of us. None of us is ostracized. And he says, you can come. You can come. And he went. And he became whom God has made him. And you refuse to go. And we want to weary him. We want to... We pack load of everything on him. Because we don't want to personally develop ourselves. But we have many of this in this ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. With the anointing among you, many of you will rise up with grace, with power, with unction, with understanding of the word of God. And you'll be making waves all over the world for God in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the reason for this class. The key to it, the major key, as I can boastfully tell you that, if boasting is allowed or is not, that the major key that will take you to the destiny that God has for you, the major key, aside from you being saved, is being alone with God. That's where all the instructions will come. That's where the presence will come. That's where the endowment will come. That's where the favor will come. That's where the empowerment will come. That's where everything you need to be successful in life and in ministry will come. From there. From the throne of God. With him. In Mark chapter 10 verse 27. Mark chapter 10 verse 27. He said, and Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, how many things? All things are possible. With God, all things are possible. The same Mark chapter 9 verse 23, he said, Jesus answered and said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Did you see that? He put us in the class of himself. Those who believe. Did you get it? Did you get it? We are not here for theory. After I am done and I have gone, we want to see things begin to happen. And if that didn't happen, the Bible school has failed. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If all you have is notes, neatly written, and there is no life, then we have failed. Nothing has happened. We have just educated your brain. And that's not what we are seeking for. We are seeking for educating of your heart that will lead to manifestation of God's glory. Hallelujah. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that does what? That believes. And I said, that put us in the class of God. Because only with God that we said, all things are possible. Am I saying something in the house? That was the first thing we said. That with God, all things are possible. Now we are seeing another scripture bringing us in and telling us that if we can believe, as all things are possible to God, nothing also shall be impossible to us. So if only we can believe. You remember in John chapter 11, I think it's verse 22 or thereabout, when Jesus Christ wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead, and they were looking at it, is it going to happen? Didn't I tell you that if you can believe, you will see the glory of God? So how do you see the glory of God? What are the processes that will make you see the glory of God? What is the word, the key word that will make you see the glory of God? Somebody want to help me here. We are in school. Let's come down. Eh? Let's do this. You've been to class before now. Why are you doing this? Can you help me? To believe. In that case, say, didn't I tell you that if only you can believe, what's going to happen? You will see the glory of God. Did they see the glory of God? Huh? They saw the glory of God. Why? They believed. How do you know they believed? He said, roll the stone away. What did they do? They rolled the stone away. So it showed that they believed. And because they believed, they saw the glory of God. In this case, what was the glory of God? The raising of Lazarus. They saw it. They saw it. If only they believe. If only you can believe. The key word in there is to believe. If you believe, you will do what? You will see the glory of God. The same thing he said. Say, with God, all things are possible. And he came down again and he said, to them that believe, all things are what? Are possible. Putting us, that we believe him, in his class. Oh goodness. Ribaroski Mande. I need to get myself into teaching level. So when you get to this kind of a thing, you feel like flying. Something is staring in the inside. And you have to say, shh, we are in class. Hallelujah. He said, the devil is much around in this world, hindering people from progress, affecting people with sickness and diseases, and oppressing people in their mind and bodies. He's here. These same people, right, left, and center. You can see it now. Am I saying something now? When they call in the church, those who are sick, you see how people troop out. It shouldn't be. Have you been to the camp before? You've been to the camp before? When daddy is praying for the sick, have you ever witnessed the multitude that comes out to be prayed for? Huh? How many of you have been into the camp? Raise up your hand. You've been into the camp before. Let me see your hand. You've been to the camp. How can you be in the Redeemer and not been to the camp? Which one are you there now? Which kind of Redeemer you be? If you have not been to the camp, are you really part of us yet? Eh? You should be there. It's your house. Am I saying something? If you've been to the camp before, let me see your hand up. And you have witnessed a healing service before. You have not witnessed a healing service before. I have. In Ebutemeta, I took my auntie to Ebutemeta to be prayed for many years ago. She was having sore that will not heal. And Baba lay hands like this. That was the end of that sore. That was the end. The woman died about a month or two ago. But that was about 80 something, almost 90. The sore never showed up. It disappeared. Hallelujah. And we've done so many things and it wouldn't go. But just bam, like this one time. It was enough. No second one, it was done. the siege was broken. The power of God got inside. And then she was free. But when you look at the that day, I looked at the multitude that were lining up for him to lay hands on. I was wondering how the hand would be sustained after the whole thing. Because he was carrying the hand like this and he was doing like this to everybody and he was praying. Just like that. And I saw multitude on the line. And he was laying hands on everybody. Ah! I shook. Being a minister too, I shook. I said, ah! Hey, I was looking at my shoulder. Maybe one angel must be hanging that hand. To lay hands on everybody like that. And he was there. He did it over everybody. Everybody. Ah. It shouldn't be like that, yo. It shouldn't be like that. I'm telling you the truth. People don't know about you, sir, Baba. Hallelujah. You see, if you will rise up, it will not be like that. If I will rise up, it will not be like that. You will be able to sleep, at least rest. And study more, and hear God more. Eh? And bring more to us, and take us to a higher dimension in the spirit realm. Because when we are still crawling, how can he teach us the other big things? We are still sick and broke and busted and everything. So he can't really take us to another height. He can't begin to tell us of how to enter into the presence of God, how to assess the glory of God, how to do miracles, because you are still sick. And he's battling with that. He has gone there. He has gone to that level. We should aspire to get there. And not just to have the benefit of somebody who have gotten there. Can you help me write that one now? Is it possible? Okay, you will summarize it. Okay. Praise the Lord. If you can believe, you too, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. But the devil is hindering. The devil is at work. A lot of things that are happening are not ordinary. They are not just issues of life. They are demonically orchestrated. and then we need to stand up. You know, Paul said something in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. He said, "For a great and effectual door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Can you imagine somebody who's going to preach God's word? A great door, doors were open. Opportunities to minister, opportunities to do good to people, to minister the word of God to them. But many adversaries. Great door of business has opened unto you. But how many adversaries? Can you count them? You don't even know. Because you need spiritual perception to be able to know. Your eyes need to open to know. Hallelujah. Great adversary. Many adversary. Opportunity to become a PhD holder. It's open unto you. But you better touch your card because there are many adversaries. Many people that said you will not get there. It will not happen. Demons, when they foresee what you are likely going to be, maybe God has destined that you should be a multi-millionaire to put money into the gospel. You're not just for aggrandizement and build the best house and ride the best car. And he saw that your mind is true. You get ready for your fight. Are you hearing me? Huh? You want to put money in the gospel. Your reason for doing business is for the gospel. Then get ready for what? War. A fight. Because Paul said, eventual doors, great doors, open unto me. But how many adversaries? Many adversaries. So, and many people in the Christendom, they walk around as if there is no adversary. Pray, no way. Fast, no way. All they are saying is that somebody should go and pray for them. Somebody should go and fast for them. And somebody should go and get the anointing upon himself so that they can have the benefit of the anointing. They don't want to get the anointing by themselves. You will not be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Your head will not lack oil in the name of Jesus Christ. So the very moment you become a child of God, you become a prime target for the devil. A prime target for the devil. You see that the devil will want to resist you. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to make sure that you don't get what you're supposed to get. And then you also are going to say, no, it's not going to happen. Because I have the authority, I have to stand, and I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get and be whom I'm supposed to be, and then impact my generation and carry out my assignment on the face of the earth and be successful. That will not be a wishful thinking. You will be ready to do some stuff, some spiritual exercises. You will have to discipline yourself and turn eating time to praying time and turn playing time to praying time and turn sleeping time to what? To praying time. We should invite you to come and stand there. You get it. Sleeping time to praying time to studying time. There are times that I stay overnight. Not to pray like that. I pray, but to study. So I can have understanding of God's word. Then my prayer can be accurate. I won't be doing some kind of prayer that are not scriptural. Because I have knowledge of God's word. Hallelujah. Let's read together Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. We've read it before. I just want to lay emphasis on the fact that when you decide to wait on the Lord, something is going to happen to you. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And that is what you want in your life. Is that not what you want in your life? That is what you want in your life. So many projects, so many God's projects are abandoned due to satanic opposition and devices. A lot of Christians and Christians' homes and children are affected. And many still carry affliction of the enemy in their bodies. It will not be so if we learn to be alone with God. Most of the problems of life will be sorted out when we learn to be alone with God. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 4 says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any beside you, any God beside you, who acts for those who wait on him." How many people is he going to act on? Act for? For everybody, because we are all God's children. Are we not God's children? Shouldn't he act for us? Shouldn't he come to our aid? Huh? I'm talking. I'm asking. Shouldn't he come to everybody's aid? Huh? Why is he not coming through to everybody? Huh? We're not waiting on him. We're not being alone with him. We're not bringing our issues before him. He said he acts for those who wait on him. So if you choose not to wait on him and he doesn't act in your situation, is he at fault? Huh? School, trouble. After school, no work. Marriage, wahala. The bobo that make him show up, we no see him. Where he pay for goodness sake, search him from God's presence. You will get him. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Let's not say, except you do something. You know, women, are you hearing me? Are you still there? Let's not say, unless you are not going to get out of this school. How do you handle that? The man won't die or won't do what? Or maybe he wants to be alive as not being alive. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? He think he go work again. Which one you want? I will ask him which one you want. To be alive as if you're not alive. You will not be able to do anything for the rest of your life. Or to be cuckoo. You know, peme. All together. Which one? It's too much. You should just be alive and not be able to do anything. That's enough punishment, isn't it? You are a merciful person. To be merciful, God will be merciful. Hallelujah. You see, it's because we don't know our God that we fall into so many events. They that know their God, they shall be strong and do what? Exploits. 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 Because we know God. Because we know God. Hallelujah. When you are alone with God, you enjoy great liberty in telling God all that is in your heart about issues. You get personal, practical, realistic, thorough with God. When you see God like that, you will find him. When you see God practically, thoroughly, and there will be liberty, because sometimes when we say we should pray in the church, you are wondering whether somebody by your side is hearing what you are saying. Especially when what you are about to say is private. Am I saying something in the house? You don't want somebody else to hear you discussing certain kind of issues with your father. There is this kind of time that you should cultivate, habit that you cultivate, where you can pour your heart out. Where you can be naked and not be ashamed. Where you can tell it as it is. No covering up. No makeup. Are you hearing what we're saying here? And most times, when we are not alone, we are not able to do that. Am I saying the truth? Huh? When man of God is preaching and talking about sin, hey, repent! Don't repent, you are going to perish. And he's bringing the word of God. And I say, oh yeah, raise up your hand. You want to come to God right now and repent before God. Everybody is doing like this. Something is going on. No? Then finally, if somebody feels like, this is my chance to, I shouldn't miss it. And is that to come out? When he's doing the prayer, he's either, if he's born again and the spirit feet, what is he doing? He will be doing what? Praying in tongues. Shane had the same thing. That tell us, is it fornication? Is it adultery? Bring it to God. Is it stealing church money? Is it, what is it? Is it rebellion? Is it, why don't you just come out and not be hypocritical? At that time, he will remember that he's baptized in the Holy Ghost. The tongues, he will not speak in private, in privacy. But now he will speak in tongues. Why? He doesn't want anybody to hear, to know what has taken him out. I don't need to be hypocritical when I'm alone with God. I can just tell him as it is. Praise the Lord. And God has promised great things will happen. If you seek God like that, he has planned for you. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the thought that I think towards you, says the Lord, the thought of peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope." A future, a brilliant future, wonderful future, great future, and a hope. See, that is the thought he has for you. And you are not about to get that thought until you get into his presence. He also said in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do you know the time of need he's talking about? We don't have the time. If you read from the beginning and you see what he's actually talking about, it was temptation. He was talking about our high priest, that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He himself was tempted like us, if you read from the beginning. Now, as he was dealing with that, he now said, let us therefore. Why? Because of what? What is the therefore? Because of what he has been talking about, the temptations that comes to us, the attacks of the enemy, alright, that comes to us. He said, let us therefore come to God boldly, so that we can receive which help? Strength against the temptation. Power to overcome sin. To defeat the enemy at all front. No matter the arrow that is sending. To be able to take a stand. Say, let us therefore, because he's been talking about temptation and all of that, and all of that, and how our Jesus Christ too was tempted on all front, but he didn't sin. And you now say, you come. I know what you are going through. Come. Boldly. I know when we go to that place, we're always talking about throne of grace, getting money, getting car, getting all of those things. But that's not what the scripture is dealing with. We're just dealing with temptation. Hallelujah. So what does it mean now to wait on the Lord? You know, we've been describing it since. Huh? We've just been doing some description. Because I know this topic is so important, sir. I took my time to put some things that I believe that the young ones should get, anybody should get, who wants to be successful in this race. What does it mean? What does it mean to be alone with God? I will first of all deal with what it is not, so that I can give us a picture of what it is. It is not a time of corporate prayer with others. Being alone with God is not the time of corporate prayers with others. Being alone with God is not a time of prayer with a prayer partner. It's good to be in a corporate place where we are all praying and the power is generated. But what we're dealing with is not that. And it's also not the time that we pray together with a particular person that we have chosen as our prayer partner. It is also not the time for normal quiet time that we all have. And if you don't have that one, you have a problem. I just assume that we all do our quiet time. Is my assumption correct? Huh? Silence. Somebody is now coming up with try to wind it a little bit. So it's not the time, what we're dealing with now is not the time of our quiet time that we do in the morning or whatever time that we have chosen to do our quiet time. Mostly better in the morning. Hallelujah. That's not what we're dealing with. And you should do your quiet time. Amen. It is a protected section of being alone in the presence of God to discuss with Him and obtain definite, somebody say definite, definite answer or word of assurance or guidance. Can I tell that again? It is a protected section of being alone in the presence of God to discuss with Him and obtain definite answers or word of assurance or guidance. Guidance. There is a specific matter that has brought you before Him, and you are alone with Him. When you come to God like that, you have a specific matter. Yesterday I was discussing with my wife, we were sharing on this, and I was trying to find out our own thought. You know, you don't know it all. Amen? And I have a help made for me, so why don't I let the help help me? So we're sharing on it. I was trying to find out from her to see what I can add and whether I can remove and all of that. We're just sharing. And I remember that I used to have a diary. Bro, Ibi, I used to have a diary where I used to write my prayer points and dates and the response of God. So I went and looked for it. 1991, I saw one I wrote. 1991. The date was there. What I prayed for, what I was asking God for, and God's response. 1991. The diary was in my house. That was, somebody did a book, you know, and he write date, you know, prayer point, answer. What God said, God's response. So you should write it there so you know whether your prayer is being answered or not. But I was asking my wife, let's do evaluation. Since we have been married, what are the prayer points that we have brought before God? What did he say? What was his response on those issues? See, people can become religious, and they're just religiously praying. Are you getting what I'm saying now? They are not necessarily expecting an answer from God. And years after years and after years, no answer, no nothing, nothing, nothing is happening. And it looks as if God does not answer prayer. But yet, in the word of God, we saw it that it is he that answers prayer that all men shall come. Am I saying something in the house? So, when you have such a book, I think I might recommend it. It's not compulsory. Alright, but I may recommend it. It will help you check your prayer life. What exactly is this like? By the time you look at it and you pray for this and nothing is happening. You pray for this one and no happen. You pray for that one and nothing. So when you keep writing, I pray for this Tuesday date. I pray for, that will make you to want to search. Why is God not responding to me? You might discover something as you pray. My time is almost up, and we have not even through with the divination session. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, if you follow my recommendation, it's going to help you get somewhere you write what you have been praying for. Amen. Put the date there, and write what was God's response. Did He answer you? Did he say yes? Did he say no? Did he say you should wait? Did he say you have to handle certain things or certain things before you will get this? What did he say? What was his response? Otherwise, you might develop a life of becoming religious in prayers. Huh? And we have people like that. No result of any prayer. They don't record any result. But they just, once you say, let us pray. It's good to pray, but we pray with expectation to have Him respond back to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it may be a time to supplicate for personal needs or to intercede for others. It may be for personal revival or for God's move in the life of an individual, a group of people, a church, or a nation. It may be for God to deal with satanic attack or hindrance. It may be time to seek for a particular blessing from the Lord or divine guidance. You don't know what to do in a particular situation, and you just want to find out from the Lord. You don't want to take steps and begin regretting. You don't want to do business and be losing money. Hallelujah. You want to make gains in the things that you are doing, and you want to seek Him and to know what actually is His intention for you. The time of being alone with God may be night or day. The location could be anywhere suitable where there will be no disturbance. It may be accompanied with fasting, and it may not be accompanied with fasting. The duration is as the Holy Spirit leads, as well as according to the nature of the need you are bringing before the Lord. It doesn't mean that if I say I want to wait on the Lord, I want to be alone with Him, every time I want to wait on the Lord, I have to fast. I do fast, and I fast regularly. Praise the Lord. And it's good. But there are times that I want to wait on the Lord, I'm not fasting, and I will still get results. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You know what I do on a regular basis? Prophet, you know what I do? I have a particular day in a week that I spend before God. One day a week. And I fast during that day. Most times that day, I don't want to go anywhere. Most times. Except I'm on assignment. I'm going to teach. I'm going to preach. I won't say I'm waiting on Him. I will not walk again. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, except on such occasions, such a day, I just stay and wait on Him and seek His face. That way, in a year, if I do it regularly and consistently, I will have done 52 times of fasting, 52 days of fasting in a year. Consistently, mounting with wings like eagles. Abi, constantly, every week I'm adding more, every week I'm adding more, every week I'm adding more, every week I'm adding more. I'm bringing issues before Him that I've discovered last week. I'm dealing with issues, you know, like that. So you discover that consistently is not something I just do one long one, then I go into all manner of calamities, fleshly manifestations, and you know, carnality, and all manner of things. And then one day, I wake up again. Let's fast again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I have a consistent approach to it. But there are times that God will be calling you to a long time of waiting on Him. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes too, when you are desperate about a particular issue that is facing you, and you don't want to be relying on other people to go and meet your father for you. I'm always discouraging that thing, except for young converts. Are you hearing me? Pastor will finish preaching. He has just taught what is the answer to the question you are coming to ask. You will come and line up again. Eh? You will line up again, and the man is tired. Look, 1 hour preaching is like 8 hours job. For me to prepare this, I have not slept overnight till this morning to wait on God, not to just have letter. Before I came here, it was a time of worship. For about 2 hours, I was just worshiping God. And I'm telling Him that, Lord, the people that will hear this, they will not look at my eloquence. They will not look at the presentation of the word. They will be impatient. They will be able to go back and do what you are going to say. I'm before God handling things like that. And then when I am true, like many of us do, if we are a pastor that prepares very well, you will have spent time to prepare. And then you come, you finish ministry. You are still sweating all over. And then people just line up there and say, "Daddy." The man gets wife for house, so he has children. He still needs to go and study for the next service. And if God has opened up for him and is ministering here and there, he has to, if he doesn't want to be carrying just one message up and down all over the place, he has to wait on God to receive. Am I saying something? So if you wear him out when he gets home, how can he study again? How can he pray again? Where will he get the fresh anointing you are going to be requesting for next service? Am I at home? Eh? Is there anybody who's a pastor here, a stand pastor or something that preaches or you preach? Let me see your hand up. Am I helping you? You see, when you get there too, you will discover. And that is why I thank God for the man of God in the house who had opened his face and said, "Okay, let's teach, let's look at these things. So that the people can grow. And the work will become easier. You have many people doing the work. And less people bothering you." Am I saying something? And then you can study more. Come and share more with them on greater glory. You share last time on glory. Then come and share greater glory now. and teach them and move them to that level again. And when you say that they are comfortable with that level, no, we can't stay here. Let's move again. Are you getting what I'm saying now? No, healing service. Okay, as time passes, go and do that one. Cast out all the demons. We come back and see God moving in our midst and doing great things. So it's going to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Many of you are coming up to become great evangelists in this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. You are going to come up and teach the body. You see, it's good to teach people in Sunday school, but to be given as a teacher to the body of Christ is altogether different. Some of you will rise up as great teachers that God will bring his word to this nation and to the nation of the world in the name of Jesus Christ. And some of you are going to come out to be prophets. Oh, you don't want to be prophets. Because I can see that your amen is very low when it comes to prophets. Prophets are good people. Amen. Most of my friends are prophets. I'm basically a teacher of God's word. But I have most of my friends as prophets. And I enjoy their company. They help me on my own coldness. They put some fire. I'll start running again. Hallelujah. And some of you are going to be apostles. Like Daddy, at DGO. They're going to be apostles. Breaking grounds. Expanding the coast of God. And establishing the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. But you must learn your initial discipline. The discipline of being alone with God. That's where that thing will happen. That's where the equipment will happen. That's where the instructions will come. That's where the empowerment will come. That's where the anointing will come. That's where the glory will come. That's where the understanding of the assignment will come. We haven't discussed what happened there. We are just laying foundation. And we are not even able to get to half of what I came with for the foundation. Because we are supposed to discuss the benefits and all of that. We have not been able to get there. We trust God that maybe next time as we are going to take the class, we will put it together and then get the benefit and also get the act itself. Practical tips that will help you be effective, be very result-oriented in the place of waiting on the Lord, in the place of being alone with Him. God bless you. Any question? Question. Okay. Do we have another microphone so we can take the questions?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
While I was growing up, I used to think to be alone with God is okay, we understand this separation to be alone in the presence of God. But we used to think, okay, people have to go to the mountain at Abeokuta or somewhere, or just travel somewhere where you just be you alone with God. But right now, the way I'm hearing it is like you can almost be alone with God anywhere, just anywhere. Okay, if I want to be alone with God in somewhere that is crowded, since God likes to call people apart, you be alone, and then you hear things, and then you get guidance. How do I shut my environment out to be alone, actually, with God? How do I do that?
Oh, it's a very wonderful question. Praise the Lord. Like we said, you can be alone with God anywhere that you can find quietness, where you are not going to be disturbed. I mentioned it when I was teaching, where you are not going to be disturbed. Praise the Lord. My life, for example, I live in a house where I could be alone with God without going to any camp or any Orioke. The only reason for Orioke is for the fact that many people are beginning to ascribe something else to it that is not in the New Testament. Some people are beginning to go to the Old Testament in their mind, where they have a place where God is worshipped. And you know, he dealt with that in John 4. Because you are no longer going to worship God either on this mountain or there. Huh? Or in Jerusalem or anywhere. You know. So, you see, being alone with God has to do with that secular place that you can create, that you can find. In my own heart, I really don't go to any Orioke. I don't go to any camp to go and pray. I don't go to any resort place to go and pray. You know why? When I was getting my house, I had that at the back of my mind, that I will need time with God and I want to be alone. So it is this kind of house that will afford me that kind of lifestyle, and I will not be disturbed. So I got that kind of a house. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? So, and then bless me, because I pray, God answered my prayer. He gave me a good woman who also understand that I need to be alone with God sometimes. So my wife does not disturb me at all. When it is time for God, there is not baby time, it's not any other time, it's time for God. And she respects it. And the entire family is trained like that. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So I don't go to any camp, but don't join me. Because I said I don't go to any camp. I'm not against going to camp. If you can't find a secluded place like that, like I have, then go to camp where you can have a secluded place. I've gone to some camp and it's more noisy than even the house. So I said I'm not going again. Too much noise. Everybody running all over the place. And then it was no longer a quiet place. So that cannot help my purpose if I want to be alone with God. I have a friend when he was preparing for his wedding. The only place he could be alone with God is under his mother's bed. I'm just trying to bring that in to help you. You know who I'm talking about? Reverend Joseph. Don't tell him I told this to you. I mean, don't let him hear this message. He goes under his mom's bed. I was his best friend, so I know these things. He goes under his mom's bed. So nobody will know he's under the bed there. He cleans under the bed and he gets under it. And he's there. Oh God. Lord. Under the bed. He finds a quiet place under the bed. Find a quiet place for yourself. You will find one. Somebody has any question?
Praise God.
Yeah.
Yes, that means what I'm getting right now is your environment, physical environment, has a lot to do with you being alone with God.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
for someone like me, that in my house, to a large extent, I don't have privacy. Like, yeah, okay, I have my room or I can lock my door. And will I have to wait to leave the house, or okay, do it early in the mornings, or there should be a time, as in, is it supposed to be a fixed time, or how do I, is it that I can't keep my spirit quiet or keep
okay,
my
coming,
mind
I know where you're going. You see, I didn't want to go too advanced. I want to keep things the way everybody can practice and do something with. All right? I get what I'm saying now. Actually, I can sit down in a very noisy place and quieten everything, shut everybody off. I'm doing something there and nobody knows anything. That means you have come to a point of maturity where you can control your thoughts. You are so mature. I can sit down here, everybody is jumping and screaming and shouting and doing everything, and I don't even know what is going on. I don't even see anybody. I'm not hearing you. I'm not here. Shut everything off. And I'm connected. And something is happening. But that takes a degree of discipline, practice, and discipline to get to that point where you can be in a noisy environment and be connected and be doing whatever you need to do. How come a man of God can come to the pulpit? Many things are happening. The one that is beating the drum is beating the drum. And is connecting and hearing God. Huh? The one that is carrying an offering bucket is carrying an offering bucket. The one that he didn't even have to carry, he carried here. You know, the other one that, you know. And then he is able to bring his thought together to focus on God and to get the word of God across with power under an unusual environment. It's an advanced level. Amen? But you can strive to grow now. You don't have to be gray-headed to be that, to come to that level. Eldership is not by gray-headed. It's by maturity. Am I saying something, sir? You wanted to say something, sir. I know you are raising your hand. You want to say something.
Okay. I wanted to speak to David because if you are certain that for someone like you, if you know God is calling you into ministry, and you said in your house you have a measure of privacy, but the matter is, am I supposed to lock my door? Should I do it outside? One of the things you should learn about being alone with God is carrying God's presence. You understand? Wherever you are, whatever you are doing. I don't know whether that happens to pastor, but for me, when I'm in the toilet or bathroom, I hear God a lot. Because really, nobody's going to be there to bother you at that time. But the problem, as he said, is gathering your thoughts together. Many of us, we want to focus on just maybe like our devotions now, okay? And we like what he said, that devotion is not being alone with God, you know, that's something else. So once after devotion, we then jump out and we are free to do other things. As against, yes, you finish devotion, but you are continuing. So when you learn to carry God's presence everywhere, when it's time to be alone with God, it's easier because God didn't leave. Are you getting the idea now?
Praise the Lord. That's you see, and if at the beginning, say, I'm dealing with, I want everybody to be able to take something and do something. Praise the Lord. And I'm not ministering to ministers. There will be a way I will take this same message with the same scripture and everything if I happen to be speaking to ministers. And I speak to ministers a lot. That's one of my core areas. But in dealing with us, that we are trying to move from one point to the next. So we have to bring it in such a way that we can take it and we can begin to practice. And when you started seeing results, it will encourage you more. You started seeing results, it will encourage you more. And then you can press on and then go to the higher height. Like I told you, my own house is very conducive and I have no need to go to any camp or anything. Very conducive. But you may not have that. And if at the beginning you need to go to camp, go. Are you hearing me? I have some of my friends who are solid people. But because of the environment they live in and the challenges, their ministry, alright, people are coming and going and coming and going. They want to see them. It will look like pride when you are there and then you say you can't see them and all of that. It might just be causing some things that are not necessary. But if they say that is not at home, it's not at home. Nobody will be offended for that. You're not being at home. Am I saying something? And so in that case, that you require a total separation where you just want to be alone by yourself. If you need to go to camp or go to another place or a quiet place somewhere, it's all right. In those days, I used to go into the bush. I was in the Air Force. And in the Air Force base, my colleague there, we have bush there. We just walk into the bush somewhere.
and I will be there. Oh, boom, inside the bush. I'll be doing my own thing there in the bush. Sometimes I go to uncompleted buildings. That's if I know the owner and I will not be harassed. Are you getting what I'm saying now? What are you doing here? Have you come to bury something in our house? You know. So be careful not to go to a place where you don't have authority and then you might just cause problem for yourself. You might go to school somewhere, you know, in a field somewhere and just be there and be doing your own thing. It won't cost you anything. Huh? You can just be in a classroom somewhere and do your own thing. Am I right? And if you are in the university, easy. Very easy. You always find location somewhere where you do your thing. Am I right, sir? Yeah. Look for a quiet place. Just make sure you are alone and then you are able to do something. And if it is under mommy's bed, like my friend. Please ask questions. This is a lifetime thing. This is what makes for greatness. I'm telling you. You see, we don't need many teachings to be great. You see, it is these same old, boring strokes that makes for mastery. If you are a long tennis player, you want to develop as a star in long tennis, it is those, your trainer will be teaching you to take those old, boring strokes over and over. That same old, boring strokes over and over. Old, boring strokes over and over. You will think it doesn't really matter. I don't do now. I don't they do the batting, the bracket like this since I say do it again. Old, boring strokes. Do you know that it is those old, boring strokes that makes the world champion? Now it can now begin to push tight to it. Huh? Spin. It is that same old boring stroke that is now doing like this. Alright? He has mastered it now. He can bring finesse. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Let me tell you something. In the Christendom, what makes for greatness? Greatness are the things that you are taught as a young convert. You won't believe me. When you grow to be very old in the Lord, you will find out that it is the same simple, unambiguous, your quiet time, your alone with God, a time of fasting, you study the word, you act on the word. What else? Remind me, those are our elementary. Eh? You meditate in the word, you memorize the word, you pray, you worship God. What else do you want to do that will be great? Nothing there to hide. You won't believe it. That is the reason why you have some people who can do great exposition and you have nothing happening in their life. Because they are not doing those old, boring strokes. They've forgotten. They think they can outgrow quiet time. They can outgrow the time of studying the word. They can outgrow the time of being alone with God and inquiring from God direction. Some people think they are not God's papa, so they can take direction, they can take decision on their own. They hit the rock over time, no matter how old they are in the kingdom. Believe me, this thing we're teaching today, it is what will lead you to greatness. If you will do it, if you will be consistent, if you will do it, if you will be consistent, one day, you will meet with me again, and you come and shake my hand and say, brother, you are right. At that time, if you are a minister, you will have been up somewhere doing great work for God. If you are a businessman, you will have your chains of companies that God has spoken to you, you have received from God, and God is guiding for the kingdom. It will be kingdom business. You will see it. If you want to be an academician, you will be a professor by that time. You will have such a brain that they don't know where it's coming from. From this. You know, Papa Egan said, in those days, he was using Ephesians generally to pray. Especially chapter 1 and chapter 3. And he said they will go to church.
And we stay there and we pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray and pray and pray. And sometimes we fall asleep there and we wake up again and we pick it up again. And we continue. But did you know that the revelations that we received from Agin came from those things? Time of waiting, time of seeking God's face, asking questions. Now we have all manner of balanced teachings from Agin, because it took time to wait on God, to pray, to seek His spirit. And the greatness we found in Him was as a result of those practices. Spiritual discipline that He passed Himself through. If you will do it, you will not be among those who are seeking for somebody to. You will not be. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? If you will, you will be among those who are helping others to find direction in life. You will be among those who are counseling and dealing with issues of life for others. If you will. If you will. It will be too long before you start discovering some kind of anointing. It has nothing to do with your age or how long you've been in the Christendom. I was a very young convert in the Christendom, but I was passionate for God. I will, like I told you, I will go into the bush, I will pray, I will fast, I will take time, sometimes 3 days. If I want to preach one message, it's 3 days fast. Those days. But the very moment I stand before the pulpit, a young convert, and I was having an invitation as a young convert, unusual. Very young combat. Just give my life to Christ and they are giving me pulpit to preach. Because I stay with Him and He knows what He has given to me. He gave the opportunity to bring it out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I will stand up here and the power of darkness will be broken. Demons, powers will be broken down. The presence of God will be so awesome. Tears will be running through my face like this. Because I took time to wait on the Lord. Even as a young combat, I was casting out demons. It was so easy. My boss then, they line up boss in the Air Force with all the laying hands on the collapse on the ground. Oh! That was one program I preached in our church, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. My senior pastor asked me to preach on the anointing of the Holy Spirit for 3 days. That accumulated into Sunday service. Young combat. And I didn't know much about falling under the anointing, what it happened. So I lay hands on two people, two young girls, they fell under the anointing, and they were there, I didn't know what to do. And church service closed, they were still on the floor. And they had to come and call me and say, okay, what do we do now? I don't know what to do with them. I didn't know what to do with them. I was looking as they were looking at me and say, what am I going to do now? Do I wake them up? Do I raise them up? Or what do I do? It has something to do with when you are born again. Your age or your position in church, it has to do with your consecration with God. Persistent, continually seeking God and hearing Him, desiring to hear Him and to have result on every point of prayer that you bring before Him. You are no longer doing religious praying. When you come to God, you are waiting for an answer. He speaks. He said, I say, I'm not giving you, I will give you, or go and wait. Not now. Any other question? I think we should. Is there a question? It's a very important topic. Let's. Should we just take it? Okay. You have a question.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Okay. How many people do we have now that we are asking questions so that we can meet with the next class? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. My own is, he said, being alone with God. But I have a problem. Being alone is not a problem, but being with God, that's the problem. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say.
I'm not getting it. I want to find out.
You say being alone with God. Being alone is not the problem I'm having. As in being with God.
Bringing God to where you are.
Where I am at that moment. And sometimes you will say you are alone, but you are with thoughts. As in a lot of things you don't be running through your mind and you won't be with God. As in how to bring God into that alone I am. I don't know if you are getting me.
Praise God. We are going to be dealing with some of the ways later. All right? We're going to have suggest. We're going to suggest some things that will help. What I've been doing now is just to whet your appetite, to make you desire. So when next time I'm going to be speaking, then you are already doing some things before we come to the next class. You will even have some things to tell us. Are you getting what I'm saying now? You know? So we're still going to be discussing some of the ways that will help us when we get alone. Now, how do I break God? And I just told you that before I came here, for almost 2 hours I was worshiping. Because I didn't want to come here and just give you an intellectual talk. Because it will not be effective. You might have a good note, but then you can't really produce it. Because I have not cooked it in the presence of the Lord. I wanted God's presence to go with whatever is being said. So much that it will stir up a desire in you, and then you go and meet God, and things will begin to happen between you and Him. And I prepared myself. I prayed in tongues. Do you know the Bible said that he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself? Huh? What does it mean to edify himself? Edify yourself? Huh? Strengthen yourself. Build up yourself. So how many people do take at least 1 hour a day to pray in tongues? Want to be alone with God? I want to be strengthened. I want to receive strength in my inner man. And he told me how. He didn't tell me it's by somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Or somebody is doing this on my head. He wants to bring down the whole ceiling on my head. And I'm always becoming bad head for the laying of the hands. Guess what? He's getting blessed. His spirit is getting edified. You know why? The Bible said, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies who? The one he's been laying her on. We have left the Bible. Simple, simple thing to do that will strengthen you. You want strength in the inner man. What do? Pray in tongues regularly. I assume that you are not living in sin. Pray in tongues regularly. Your spirit will become strong. Those flying thoughts, when your spirit is strong, they won't be able to manifest like that. You have control. I gave my wife an exercise. We had an unusual event that happened to us, and I gave my wife an exercise every day, 3 hours. In the morning, the first 3 hours, you're not going to work. We turn back, we walk, no work again, come back. Sit down, God will feed us. 3 hours every day, you must pray in tongues. Nothing else, you're not praying with understanding. From these hours to these hours, is tongues. You pray in tongues. The Bible said, he that prays, those things that happen because you have no spiritual strength to be able to stand them. That's why it happened. I was honest. So you've got to build yourself. That woman is a preacher now. Out of that, she's already preaching. God made, she met with her destiny as she began to pray in tongues like that. She moved into the prophetic. She will finish preaching now. She'll just move into the prophetic. Because she took time to begin to pray in tongues. And her spirit started receiving strength. Who knows? Kenneth Hagin said most of the gifted things, the doors to the gifts of the spirit is praying in tongues. As elementary as it is, it's not elementary. One of the first things that we are taught in church, then we come to be, but that's the Holy Ghost. Is that not true? But how many people have continued with faith that if I pray in tongues, I will edify myself? So now I'm going to pray in tongues, and I'm now going to be edified. That's faith in the word. Believing that the word of God will come true to you as you do what he said you should do. And you go ahead and do it and see the results. It will shock you. What will happen? Oh, you're waiting for somebody who's going to prepare your faith for you. Don't wait too long, though, because the man may not arrive.
You mentioned something on that being alone with God, it could either be with fasting or without fasting.
Yeah.
Now, because I used to have this, that if you're going to be alone with God, you must go fasting. Now, what I want to know now, being alone with God without fasting, is it going to be that you must have developed yourself spiritually to an extent before you can now go before God without fasting?
Praise the Lord. Fasting does not change God. After, before you start fasting, is God. And when you start fasting, you will still be good. In the fast as you are fasting, it will still be good. And after you finish all the fast, it will still be good. Why did I say that? Fasting actually helps you to bring down your flesh and to fine-tune yourself so that you can hear him. You can be in a good spiritual state for spiritual battle or spiritual exercise. No, I prefer spiritual exercise, so it may not be battle. So you could fast while waiting on the Lord if he does demand from you that you fast. Be led by the Spirit. Don't just do a religious exercise. You may not fast, yet you are waiting on the Lord. If every time we have to wait on the Lord, we have to fast, you will develop a culture, and God will relate with you like that. If you have not fasted, you know, he will not deal with you, because that's where your faith is. I told you something. I said, those days, I do 3 days fast for one message. And my faith was in it. So the day that I didn't do 3 days fast for the message, I feel my faith will not rise up. As I feel I have not done what I supposed to do. And that meeting, sometimes they are ruined. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, forgive me. Some people just didn't get benefit that they're supposed to get because of me. I didn't understand. So I developed a culture that I must fast 3 days to have the presence of God in the meeting that I'm going to preach. Is fasting wrong? No. Is 3 days fast wrong? No. But me making a tradition out of it is wrong. So as I grow, sometimes I don't have any meetings and for quite a while. And I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing everything, I'm fasting, I'm spending more time, I'm consecrating, and no meeting. A meeting may come, and I come to the meeting and say, please give me food, I will eat. Huh? And even with your wamala, if I wash the hand and then somebody is sick or anything, if I just manage to wash it so that I won't stain his head, if I lay the hands, the miracle will happen. Why? I'm no longer preparing because I want to preach. I now have a relationship, an ongoing relationship. I develop an ongoing relationship that whether I am fasting or not is with me. It's going to happen. And sometimes I may want to do a meeting and he will specifically tell me you have to fast. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Or I sense that I'm going to be dealing with some things, especially when it's going to be a healing service and all of that, you know, and I need to do that. And I do that. But I stop having a culture. Are you hearing me? These are the religious side of it that will make you that because you have not fasted, you won't have faith to believe God. Because your faith is now tied to fasting. Is fasting wrong? No. At the fast, though, there is no man that is miracle is happening in this meeting. I will tell you that he's not a faster. Go and find out. He may not tell you, but he's fasting. He's praying. He's spending quality time to pray in tongues and to worship God and to praise God. And to do all of those exercises that are very, very necessary to build the spirit so that I can move. Alright? But don't build a culture. Otherwise, be it unto you according to your faith. You must do 90 days fast before any miracle can happen. Which health are you going to use to enjoy the miracle?
My question
is... Is it clear?
When you were talking the other time, you were talking about some people going to God for you, probably talking to God on your behalf.
Yes.
Now, find yourself in a congregation of, for instance, you are the child of a pastor of the church.
Yes.
And now the pastor of the church basically teaches on the fact that he goes to God for you. When you're having a problem, you need to come to him before your problem can be solved. And now you are involved in some kind of maybe a Sunday school teaching or teaching the people practically. And now I find myself coming to this kind of programs, which I have to believe that for you to be alone is not about one pastor going to God for you, it's about yourself. How do you relate it with what the pastor of the church is saying? Wouldn't it be as if you are bringing the ministry of your dad down or something?
Okay, there is wisdom Praise God. You are learning what you are learning for your own good. You are not learning to go and begin to show up knowledge. Practice it first. Let's see the result. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Let's see the result. The first thing is not to go and teach. It's good to teach. But at least practice. Do. Alright? When you begin to do, the result will begin to show. I thank God that you are able to get it. You see, a church that build up its people, that the pastor build up. I'm sorry to say this. I don't want to sound to be harsh or critical. But I must be truthful to young ones like this who are growing. Am I right? Because God will hold me responsible one day. You had an opportunity that I gave you. Somebody was there that's supposed to learn this and do work for me in India. You didn't tell the truth. The guy is crooked now because of what you did that day. Who knows where any of you is going to go to? We must be very careful what's going on here. You see, when you start building a church where your members are dependent on you, on your anointing, you are not doing them good. Did you hear me? And it sounds good to the man whom everybody is coming to. It makes you look great. I want to see you. You know, your phone is always ringing. Krrr, krrr. As you are finishing with that one, another one is ringing. Krrr, krrr. If you want to eat, you say, as you want to put the okay inside your mouth, the thing is ringing again. And it's church members. All they are asking for is, Daddy, I want to please pray for me. Daddy, I want to. I had one dream. He narrates the dream. And then as it's finishing the dream, I say, hey, the interpretation. And then another one is ringing. Say, okay, wait a minute. Just give me a minute. And then you start quickly pick this one. What kind of a life is that? Because you babysit everybody in your church. Are you hearing me? You make them babies. They can't approach God by themselves. They must come to you. They can't hear God for themselves. You are now the Alpha and Omega over their lives. God didn't give you a ministry to point them to you. He gave you a ministry to point them to Him. You are supposed to be a guide. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying now? A pastor or any man of God is supposed to be a guide to help you know God better and release you to God. So you and your God go and sort out issues. Like these teachings that we are doing now is preparing you for that. It's not preparing you to come to me. That doesn't mean when you are still a baby I can't help you, or some issues that you can't handle I can't be of help. Alright? But it must not be a practice where on any issue or every issue pastor. Now, if you have taught a church like that, you have problem in your hand. You will be weary. You will be tired. You will look as if you are doing a great job, but you are the one tearing yourself down. You won't even have more revelation, because before you get home, you are already sleeping almost on the steering if you don't have a driver. You are too tired to seek God. You are too tired to study and get more revelation. The church will just be hearing almost the same message over and over and over again. Because you really can't spend the time to get what it takes to feed the church and grow them. Let them become mature. Let them become ministers. Praise God. Most people that have sat under my ministry are ministers now. They are GOs. Doing great work. America, here and there, doing great work. 2 personal assistants in US. And they call in and say, what you taught us is working for us. That is the joy of it. For you to find fulfillment, to find your relationship with God, to grow up and become strong. Amen? And not be depending on somebody. You know the reason why some prophets that are not even right are doing some things around? It's because of these things. The people are babysitted. They don't know what to do. They have been taught it is daddy, 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 daddy said. What did God say? No, I don't know, but daddy said. And because of that, these other guys who are evil, they take undue advantage of them. They don't know what the Bible says. So if the man comes and says, I'm beginning to shake now. The Lord just spoke to me right now. Maybe he throws some tongues inside. You are swept off. Especially when whatever he says seems to dovetail a little bit. Huh? Oh, this must be a prophet of God. You are swept off.
Before you know, a lot of things happen. We must stop it by growing the people, making them strong, so they could seek God. But you need wisdom. If you are in an environment like that, amen, you need what? Wisdom. You don't have to go and confront your pastor. That's not the reason for this Bible school. Am I right, sir? It's not meant for that. It's meant for your own personal life to grow. Amen? Except if you have an environment where you teach, and there is a wisdom in teaching. You will grow in teaching such that you will bring the same truth and it will not be offensive. And the people will still get it. Are you not getting the word I'm teaching now? Eh? Am I offensive to you? No. But there are some things you have believed differently that I have thrown light on somehow. And we are play around it. I play around it. It's just being mature in handling the word and handling the people and making sure that there is no offense. You can have faith towards God in the word that they are receiving. There is a wisdom to that that God will give you, and you won't confront pastor until God also bring light to him to begin to organize things like this that will grow his people, and he can go and rest. He can take his wife and go for honeymoon, and church will not spoil. Eh? Madam is praying, you know, to get that kind of a thing to happen to him so that I can at least go for honeymoon again. Abby, go for holiday. Church will not spoil. The church will even grow better when you are not around. We have some churches that once the pastor takes a leave, by the time he comes back, our church has grown. Eh? So he now said that maybe I should be going more because he thinks he's working in the house. Hallelujah. That is the way your church should be. Church should not be totally dependent on the pastor. Where you have many people, such teachings like this are coming, and people are growing, and they are going to God, and they are learning God's word, and they are doing all of that, they can do a lot. Evangelism, they will be doing, there will be nobody, they can do anybody. There will be less immorality in the church. They are hearing God. God is dealing with them. Amen? They can be established. They can do great things. And they are not depending on you to do that. We only come and share the testimony of the great thing that is happening. You just come back and say you lay hands on somebody that is crippled and is jumping. You say, where is the crippled? Is it in church? Ah, it's not in church. Ah, go out and bring the... Ah, why you don't leave him outside there? That would be what we're talking about. I'm glorifying God, that God has done something. Amen? You are supposed to be a miracle worker. You are supposed to be what? They that believe, they shall do what? They shall speak in new tongues. They lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. They shall do what? Cast out. Do you know that the first one he mentioned there is cast out demons? They that believe, young converts. That was true concerning me when I gave my life to Christ as a young convert. I was casting out demons. If I was enjoying, I was looking for demons all around the place. Young convert. It's not reserved for pastor. They that believe. Are you a believer? Did he say those that are pastors? Did he say those who are pastors? No. They that believe. So when the pastor now says, come and sit down, let me just be doing the believing for you and be doing the manifestation, something is wrong somewhere. Detach yourself from it and begin to seek God. But don't begin to cause trouble in the church. Hallelujah. We are true? Let's rise up, but we need to just thank God for what he has done. Go and thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. You are going to begin, you're going to make commitment to God. Even though we've not finished learning what we need to learn from this, but you're going to begin to thank God and make commitment to begin to practice. You will have wasted this period if you don't do anything with the knowledge you have received. It's not meant to give you another knowledge, just knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's meant to give you a key that will build a relationship between you and God, that will make you solid in God. Solid in God. Solid in God. A sound relationship that you can go to God and say, Abba, Father. And you know God will hear you. He will hear you. You will become a miracle worker. You'll be producing results. 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 Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Tell him to help you. Tell him to help you. Now it will not be letters to you. It will become an experience. You begin to have answers to prayers. Unto you that answers prayers shall all men come. That you begin to handle your issues. You begin to bring your issues and issues of others before God and get results. Oh, le karabazende reboshi kalababazanda. Le baroske pando robose kete boko li yamanda rabayamande kete boko li yakata. Le karabashantala yamando robo yemakata bakale yamakata ke. Daruba zende reboshi kete boko li yamamazanda rababashi kalababazanda. Oh, we thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor and praise. These ones will no longer be babies in the kingdom. They will rise up as giants. They will rise up and be strong. They will rise up and begin to be an ambassador in the kingdom, going out there and bringing results. They will rise up and begin to break the back of the devil and establish the kingdom of God anywhere they go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we prayed. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for your word. We thank you for grace that is coming. We thank you for touching our heart. We thank you, O Lord, because you decide to help us and organize a meeting like this, a Bible school, for us to come and learn at your feet. Holy Spirit, we ask that this word that has gone forth will produce results in the name of Jesus. That everyone that is here that have heard us, and those who will hear them as they also teach others, we grow to begin to have solid relationship with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now these ones, oh Lord, as they grow with you, they begin to do things, they begin to break the back of the devil on all fronts. Concerning issues of their lives, of their family, of their churches, and in the life of others, and in the nation, and in the world in general, in the name of Jesus Christ. From what you have taught us, Lord, you will help us to immediately begin to practice, to immediately begin to bring those issues before God. And because you are God, you change not. Because we know that your word is true. You that answers prayers shall all men come to. As they come, you will encourage them. You will bring results. You will answer their questions. You will solve their problems in the name of Jesus. As you give them testimonies, they will be encouraged to come the more and to teach others. So it's going to be as they come, oh Lord God of heaven. My Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Shield, and my Buckler. My God, give them testimonies. Give them testimonies. Give them testimonies. Give them testimonies. Give them a reason to always come again. In the name of Jesus. Every hindrance to seeking God in your life, distractions, whatever form it may be, we command them to be silent in the name of Jesus Christ. We break their strongholds in the name of Jesus Christ. We destroy their shrines in the name of Jesus. We say you are released. You are released. Those power of darkness manipulating minds, bringing thoughts, and then causing distractions. We command you to be silent in the name of Jesus. Silent in the name of Jesus. Let there be quietness in our spirit to hear God. There will be quietness to hear God. Every opposing force that stands as an hindrance, they are dethroned in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory and honor and praise. There will be victory all round. Victory all round. Even when next we are going to be meeting, we'll be asking, is there anybody with testimony for what has been taught? There will be great testimonies. Of healing, of deliverance, of promotion, of advancement, of success in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory and honor and praise. For we are prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Please, you can help me clap for my pastor. Let us stand up to pray.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee, not for ease or worldly pleasures, not for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, grant me all life's fateful seas. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. I don't know if you're here and nothing has started happening to you. For several of us, several things have started happening in the last 3 days. It's one of the promises that God gave to us, was that even Moses, that brought the people to the mountain, God will call him up. And I have a personal testimony. God has called me up, and I'm still open to learn more. I want you to pray and say, Lord, draw me closer to yourself. I've had you by the hearing of your ears. Let my eyes see you. I've had you by the hearing of your ears. Let my eyes see you. You shouldn't be this type of men. Men that are far older than us in the faith, that are coming constantly to teach you, and yet nothing will happen to you. It's better you didn't come. I want you to pray. Lord, Lord, please, let me too draw close to you. Let me too draw close. Draw me too closer to you. I've just heard about how to be alone with God. Begin to work these things out in my life. Begin to work it out in my life. Lord, begin to work it out in my life. Don't let me just be a hearer with fat notes but thin life. Let me not just be a hearer with fat notes, well written, but no life. Let me not be that. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you, Lord Jesus. Let it be so, Father. Draw me close to yourself. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Lord, we thank you for our brother who had just finished with us, opening our eyes of understanding to the fact that we will not become anything if we are not alone with you. Showing us that deep thing, that all you desire is that we'll begin to learn to make you our best friend and to spend quality time alone with you, as no relationship grows without personal time together. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will reward his labor of love in the name of Jesus. And beyond rewarding him for preaching, I know that his joy is that we will come up to be these things that he has taught us. I pray, Lord, that speedily he will see the fruit of his labor in the name of Jesus. That speedily, Lord, you will help each of us to come up as we should in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' most precious name. God bless you. Please let us be seated. I'm teaching you this morning on understanding birth, and we're continuing from where we stopped on Thursday. Was that Thursday or Wednesday? Thursday. Okay. That's where we're continuing from. Please, where's that marker? Okay. If you remember where we stopped at the matter that Nicodemus came to Jesus when? Okay. Femi, give me that stuff. I need to erase something.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-8133-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-4099-1321, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life